a wife of noble character. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant's ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in all the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise.
Excellent. So, let me just. Have we got the PowerPoint? Oh, there it is. It's appeared now. Good, good. Hello. Good morning. And so basically, we've landed on week 6 of our series of Proverbs. And I know we've got some guests with us today who sort of visitors today who haven't journeyed with us. There might be other people sitting who've not been here each week. So in a minute or two, I'll give it a little bit of a summary. But first, let me say that last week I was away at the Baptist Assembly. As we go, it was really good to be with and worship with members of our Baptist family from across the country. But I honestly missed being here. So now, if you were here for the Pentecost service, I have heard nothing but good things about service last week. So a big thank you for all those who kind of got involved in bringing that together, and also to Laura for coordinating and leading and, you know, juggling everything with so many things going on. So thank you for that. It was a really good time at the Baptist Assembly, and hopefully I've done a little report that will come out in the memo end of next month, next week, if I'm right, thereabouts. Anyway, this week, yeah, Sunday, this week. I've lost track of time. So as I said, we're kind of week 6. We're the last time we're going to dig into Proverbs for this season anyway. And we're drawing our thinking about wisdom towards a conclusion. But my hope is that while we finish this series, we won't stop thinking about wisdom, but that we'll just carry on even after the series is finished. Now, we've just heard our scripture passage, and we'll unpack that in a moment or two. But as I say, a little recap first. So firstly, when we started in Proverbs way back a few weeks ago, we acknowledged that life can be confusing and we need help to navigate that. We need to help to navigate it really well. But the good thing is that we've not been left on our own. We've got God to help us, and he's provided us with his word that provides us with guidance for many different situations of life. And if anyone picked up the challenge that I offered you right at the beginning of reading all the way through Proverbs, you will know how wide and varied the subject matter covered is. The thing is, if we take time to engage with God's word, and that's where we'll find wisdom to guide us through the delights and the demands of all that life brings us. You see, when we decide to follow Jesus, when we step into relationship with him, it impacts the whole of our life, the way that we think, the way that we act. And as Steve brought out a couple of weeks ago, our thoughts matter, what we think matter, our actions matter, and our words matter. Why is that? Because as soon as it's all very well at being part of this family here and everybody knows that where we're at here, I guess, but when we go outside in the big wide world and when people find out that we are people of faith, people who go to church, we end up representing Jesus to them through what we do and through what we say. And if we want to represent Jesus well, then we need to make wise choices. Now, having done our intro to Proverbs, we then began to think about what Solomon was teaching his son. And he was a young man or setting out on the path of life. And both his parents were really keen on encouraging him to choose well, to choose the good paths in life, to learn, to listen and think, to spend time with God's word and with other wise people in the faith who could give him wise advice about choosing good ways, not choosing the foolish ways. And we too would be, it'd be prudent for us to do well to heed that, so that when we come to points in life where we have to make choices, and that's inevitable because we saw from this morning, even choosing between an apple and a pear, we've got to make choices. But if we choose first to seek after God really closely, then the wisdom that we find will enable us to, as it says in chapter 2, walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. Now we get to the final chapter and we see a snapshot of what a life looked well looks like in the portrayal of the woman we're told fears the Lord. And that's the theme as we've picked up over the weeks, that the writer brings this theme all the way through and he brings us right back to where we began, because in the first chapter he tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and meaning not that we should be afraid of God, but we should have a deep awe and respect for God. And having such a fear should mean that we have a desire to do and to act in ways and live in ways that please him. And the woman we've just heard about has done just that. And the scripture, the passage describes that as sometimes as a wife of noble character, sometimes as a woman. In Hebrew, that word is derived from the same Hebrew word. So let's have a look at this woman of noble character. Let's have a look at why this might be the case, why she might be described like this. So first of all, we can identify that she is being known for being an excellent wife and mother. She's very good, isn't it? But not only that, she's also known to be caring, organised, astute, generous, talented, hardworking, and good-humoured. It's brilliant. Great list. She is known for demonstrating wisdom in every area of her life, which enables her to flourish and those around her to flourish too. So no wonder she can be described as having a noble character. But if that's not enough to be going on with, we know that her family also sing her praises. And again, if you were with us a couple of weeks ago, Steve spoke when we talked about us having wise words. He talked about us doing what he called sneaky praise. That is, saying something positive about someone in their earshot, but not to them, so that they hear that praise and are encouraged by it. So, you know, this sneaky praise. So I'm pretty sure this family have gone a lot further than that. They are openly talking about how marvellous their mother and wife are to others. They have really sung her praises. And through that, but also how other people have seen her and observed her, she's been also known for she's got integrity, she is intelligent, and she speaks wisely. She offers instruction and all sorts. Now, I have to be said, I had to squeeze everything in to get all this on the one slide. And it's quite, I don't know, how do you feel it? Encouraging or intimidating as a list? Because that's where I was getting to, kind of thinking my feeling was it might be quite tricky. No, it's not straight. There's no might about it. I think living up to this list is quite a tall order, quite frankly. You see, I'm not sure, and this is just on my reflection, I'm not sure I've got enough hours in the day. And those who know me well know I'm more of a night owl than an early bird. So even if I was able and wanted to get up while it was still dark or stay up till the midnight hours, I don't think I would have time to tend a vineyard. I know I've got a couple of vines in the manse garden, but still. Work in trade, go out and buy food, keep the house tidy, care for the children. I mean, I love my children, but I'm so glad they're old enough and have left home. They've been around the last couple of days, and seriously, I'm glad they've left home. Love them to pieces, but sorry if you're listening. But in addition, this woman has time to weave material. Now, I know I'm known for my crochet, but I'm not making that many clothes. I have threatened every so often to make Andy something, but no, maybe not. To weave material, make clothes, and not only that, she looks after the poor as well. Now, I'm tired just reading that, just the thought of doing all that stuff. So I'm wondering, is this woman living a life that's perhaps an ideal we can't measure up to? So I wonder if perhaps instead of going, we've got to go for the whole lot, which would be great, but if we look at this as an example, an inspiration rather than expectation. So, I mean, I think if we tried to do that all the time, we'd be permanently exhausted. So, and I just think we need to use it to inspire us to be all that we can be. And to be honest, that works for all of us, because I know this is talking about a woman. But actually, this stuff here, in a sense, if you take out that excellent wife, you can have excellent husband and father in there instead, or just excellent person in there. It doesn't have to have that. What we can do is we can learn from her industry, her integrity, and her resourcefulness. And, you know, and the fact that her journey to this point of being known for her wisdom, it's flowed from this deep relationship that she has with God. So whatever the shape of our life is, whatever our family life is like, and our working or perhaps even our non-working lives are like, what we can learn from this is if we root everything in a right relationship with God, that's the best starting place. Because it's that leads us to having his wisdom that then brings him glory. It's kind of that process through. We can all embody having a passionate work ethic, whatever our work might be, whether it's paid or unpaid or whatever it is. We can embody having respect for others. We can care for others. We can care for the poor. We can be wise in how we handle our finances and be thoughtful about how we speak and what we do. And all those are themes that are threaded all the way through Proverbs. They're examples of how to live wisely. Now, if this woman stands as an example to us, Solomon gives this description, having asked the question in verse 10, who can find? Now, this woman was the person that Solomon found, person who is found to be living a life underpinned and informed by wise choices and faith. So that got me wondering about who could we find today? Who are our role models? Sometimes we just come across people who are just simply wise people, people we just want to hang out with because they're great. They say wise things and you're just like, how did you think of that? It's brilliant. Wisdom is attractive. And just thinking about this, I came across some examples from popular culture. So in the Chronicles of Narnia, you have Lucy relying on the wisdom that Aslan speaks to her. In the Lord of the Rings, you have Frodo and his friends. They look to Gandalf. In Star Wars, Luke Skywalker is drawn to Yoda. Now, I'm not going to attempt to say it like Yoda did, just to clarify before I say this. This is a quote of his that I think links in well with our thinking. He said, "Once you start down the dark path, forever it will dominate your destiny. Consume you, it will." And let's not forget Thumper's wisdom that we heard about speech from a couple of weeks ago. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. And I'm not doing it in his voice either. I thought about it and thought this is a really bad idea. But we don't live in a fictional world. So who is it for us? Who are our people? People who live wisely and well. Now, it might be people from our past. It might be people more recently. Or it could be folk who are even in the room today. Now, the problem is that while I was preparing, I went and asked Andy this question. And I was like, who is this? Who are your, you know, wise people? And he took a minute to think. And I thought, do you know what? That's really tricky. So I'm going to give you a minute to talk to each other, because I think sometimes it's easy to talk about this with others. A couple of minutes just to think about who are your wise people. Have a little chat with those around you about who comes to mind and why. A couple of minutes just to think about who are your wise people. Off you go. Okay. Okay, so it sounds to me like we've got a lot of wise people we've got to share about. So that's, I think it's really good that we've got a lot of people that we can kind of bring to mind who we would class as wise people. I wonder who it was. I mean, I'd love to have time to kind of go around and find out from you who it is. And who they are to you and why they're so important that you've talked about them. Maybe that's something we can talk about over coffee, tea and coffee, whichever you want to choose, in a moment, or when we finish the service. But I wonder if there are people who have lived close to God, clearly demonstrating their faith. Because it's when, as people of faith, if we are surrounded by wise people who've also been journeying in the faith, it's something that James picks up on in his letter. Oh, that's supposed to be a picture about you walking with people. So in James 3, it says this: if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honourable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you're bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are the peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. You see, the thing is, just as the woman in Proverbs 31 was known for how she lived and people that we've hopefully shared about, we too are to be known for the way that we live. The wisdom that we read about through the book of Proverbs that James speaks about should permeate our lives. It should be evident in our speech and our actions. But But the heavenly wisdom that James writes about isn't a list of things we need to do, but he offers a description of the sort of people that we need to be. And our being comes from drawing close to God, looking to him for all things so that we might clearly live lives that demonstrate him to others. Remember that as Christians, we are to be little Christs, and our mission, whatever we do in life, is to live as Jesus did. And the only way we can really do that is if we get to know him, if we draw close to him first. But it's as we do that, as we cultivate an awareness to his wisdom, then the more easily we will discern between God's ways and the ways of the world, making choices that reflect his ways of righteousness, not in the ways of folly and foolishness. You see, God calls us to walk in the way of his wisdom. And then this godly wisdom is demonstrated by the depth of the person's character, as we've seen in as of the woman described. So perhaps a question worth asking of ourselves is our faith made visible to others through our words and through our actions? See, if our passion is to live as God would have us live, if we're intentional about investing in our relationship with him, then we will be people who live wisely and well, but not for our accolade, but to bring glory and honour to God. And that should be the case both as part of our gathered church here on a Sunday for worship, through small groups in the week, when we're called together as the family of God to walk together and encourage one another and support each other and love one another, just with a passion to encourage us to grow well and live wisely. But then it also goes on into our everyday lives, in our homes and out in the community, in our workplaces and our socializing places. So I wonder what might our takeaways be from today, or even the series, if you've been here for some or all as we've dug through the book of Proverbs. The wise are those who have deep reverence for God and let that be the basis of their relationship with him, making an active choice to seek him and to live and walk closely for him. So is that true for us? If you've never made a choice to walk with God, then perhaps today is the day to make that choice. Now, the wise are those who invest in learning and digging into God's word, and also who surround themselves with godly people who can offer them advice and direction. The wise are those who, having educated themselves, make godly choices and follow in the ways of wisdom. So I wonder, is that true for us? We make wise choices by having a deeper understanding of God's word. And there's so many ways that we can do that. We can dig into God's word on our own. We can dig into it in a small group with others. We can, look on. There's plenty of resources that we can find online that are really rich in helping us to dig into God's word. Now, the wise are those who choose their words carefully, looking to edify and build up. Is this true for us? Or do we need to be more mindful about the things that we say to and about others? Those who are wise live as an example for others, sharing the wisdom that they themselves have received from their walk with God. So is that true? Are we sharing the wisdom that we have? Now, we might not feel wise in and of ourselves, but as we draw closer to God and his ways, then we begin to embody and show his wisdom in all we do and say. James says that the wisdom we should seek after has these qualities. It is pure and peace-loving and gentle. It is full of mercy. It shows no favoritism. It is always sincere. Surely that is the wisdom that we want to embody, the kind of wisdom where our faith in God is the foundation of who we are. If we don't feel we have that kind of wisdom, then we need to ask God for it. And if we feel we have this kind of wisdom, then we need to ask God for even more wisdom, because there is no end to the wisdom that we can grow into. It's a journey that is never ending. So individually and together, as a fellowship, let's seek God's wisdom to be at the heart of all that we do. to be committed to trusting in him and the security that his wisdom provides for us to cope with all that life brings our way. God calls us to be wise. He calls us to follow him because he loves us. And picking up from the video, he wants us all to have wise and beautiful hearts. He wants us all to be growing more like Jesus every day. So I suggest that we need to be committed to seeking after God and seeking after his wisdom. Always remembering the advice from Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, that says, we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart and do not lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. I read it with the sort of us a collective there because, yes, it's individual here, but I think this applies to us as individuals, but it applies to us as God's people in this place. Let's trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Amen.